Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Leading the Way, and I do have a woman leading the way. And our topic today is running your company during, I almost hate the word anymore, and so many of us do, but running your company during a pandemic. And it is absolutely, you know, not even interesting times anymore. I have to say, businesses are shifting and pivoting and adapting. And I'm delighted to introduce our guest today and our leading lady, Jennifer Barnes. She's the CEO and founder of Optima Office. And I want to say, Jennifer, say hello to all of our listeners and good morning.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad you're here, Jennifer, because I know you are this miss. I use this with like a total compliment, Miss Smarty Pants, on all things about running a business. And you have been through quite the process yourself and how you run a business, what you've been through with partners. And today, I think what I really want to talk about is just all the things that I've seen small businesses have to go through, from applying, whether they should or shouldn't apply for a PPP loan, or, you know, what's the requirements, you know, to pay it back, or is it a grant? And then should you go for the EIDL loan? I mean, all these different things, along with just the shift of business, is so unusual right now, and sometimes even more than frustrating. But I just was curious with your take, like, what, your business is an essential business, so what kind of impact has the pandemic made to you and your company just from the get-go, mid-March, when we got those lovely orders to lock down?
Well, it's certainly been a journey since the middle of March. I'd say instantly it's about majorly communicating across the board to everyone. And for us, we ended up losing about 20% of our revenue almost instantly due to some of our clients being either in the restaurant space or retail or travel and tourism and event planning. I mean, you know, with events, that just got instantly cut off. And you know, some of us thought, oh, it'll be 30 days or 45 days. And here it is now, what, we're going on, you know, 4 months now. And so that pretty much, that significantly impacted all the businesses in those specific industries. And then what it did was all of the companies who were just about to sign with us or were just about to start working with us, everybody put it on hold. And they're like, we're not going to make any decisions. You know, we had some on-site start dates. You know, being in the accounting and HR departments, we're typically on-site at our clients. And so the pandemic instantly said, okay, well, we don't want brand new people who haven't started with us coming on site yet. Let's just push this off a little bit. So it kind of pushed our pipeline of new businesses out. And we're just now seeing it started about maybe the first week of June, second week of June, all of a sudden it's like people just got out of the stall mode they were in and decided, okay, we're going to get our books cleaned up. We need to get everything going again. And so we ended up bringing in 17 new companies as clients in June. And I think we're at about 12, maybe 12 for July. So business has really picked back up. We're just about back to pre-COVID numbers as a firm, revenue-wise. I look at it by billable revenue by day. But that's just revenue. The biggest issue that we're having is that maybe 70% of our employees are working parents. And it's been enormous struggle for them to, you know, be good accountants or HR people and take care of their clients and do bank reconciliations and cash flow forecasts and all these things when you've got kids running around and wanting your attention and you're trying to be a teacher and a cook and a, you know, all these other things that you didn't have to do pre-COVID.
Not to mention, I think we've seen it all on Zoom calls now. It's like, I'm amazed how many women, it's like we know all their kids now because we've been on the Zoom meetings or the kids video bomb, you know, because they're doing their thing. It's been tough. What was it like for you and your firm? Because, like, I know when they came down with the, hey, let's shut down, the lockdown orders, how easy was it for you and your firm just to go to a remote type of setting? Because I know for some businesses, that they really struggled with that. I mean, I'm thankful we were already virtual with our team, but, you know, some businesses really struggled with that. For you guys, was that an easy maneuver for you because you were essential, people still came into the office?
It's a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, for us, yes, it was simple to become fully remote for whoever needed to be fully remote. We did have to buy quite a few extra monitors. You know, I think for accountants, it's really nice to have two screens, sometimes even three. You know, if you're reconciling something on one screen, you want your bank statement on the other screen. You might want QuickBooks open up on a different screen or whatever accounting software you're using. So we had to buy a bunch of extra monitors for our team. We had to buy some docking stations, a couple extra video camera type of things. We had to upgrade our Zoom licenses. We had to upgrade several things. We had to upgrade and buy more of. And then it was really just about constant communication with my team. We, in the past, for the last 8 years I've run a business, I've always had quarterly staff meetings. So once a quarter, mm-hmm. I get all the employees together in a room and we talk about high-level things going on in the company and people get to know each other. And it's worked really well having quarterly meetings. Part of the reason I did that is a firm I used to work for did Monday morning at 8 a.m. every single Monday at 8 a.m. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do Thursday once a quarter at 9 a.m. because that just makes more sense. What do we have to talk about every single Monday? So that was, you know, initially what I've done for all these years. And so now we started with COVID. We started doing a weekly Zoom and we went to a biweekly Zoom. And now we're just going to do a once a month Zoom call. But I'm going to keep it going. And so even after COVID and many years into the future, I really have liked getting all of my employees together. We've got 62 employees currently. And having everybody and seeing all their faces on Zoom, you know, even if it's a quick 30-minute meeting, it just kind of brings a lot of collaboration and people together. So that's been a positive, is really having a lot more communication with my team and using Zoom as a tool. And then we're just trying to figure out currently –
Well, I think what I love most about you is that, you know, when people think about, you know, a CPA, accounting, finance, HR company, telling them what to do, I think one of the things, if I haven't told you, but I've always admired about you is that you practice what you preach. I mean, I've seen a couple of interactions we've had on Zoom when we've kind of bumped into each other on virtual meetings. It's like you're telling me, oh, I got these gifts going out, you know, to my team members and my staff. And, you know, it's those kinds of things that I think are what I wanted to just make sure people knew. You're not just telling people what we're going to get into on the show in a minute, but, you know, you actually practice these things. And that's what I really admire about you. And so I think what I want to come full circle on is in relation to those, you know, the employee part of running a business. It's like, what are some recommended things that you might suggest that business owners do to, one, keep the team cohesive and keep them, because, you know, it's uncertain. I mean, people are worried about their jobs. It's like moms are losing their minds with being not only, you know, team member, leader, manager, whatever those roles are in the business, but also to be parent, teacher, you know, and childcare, you know, taker. So what would be some things you would suggest for, you know, those business owners to take care of their team members and their staff members during the pandemic?
You know, I think every business is unique and has their own set of challenges. But at the end of the day, it's really about listening and understanding what your employees' needs are and valuing them. And so I've always been a people over profits, you know, take care of my team. What can I do to make your life better? What can I do to make the firm stronger. And it's really just listening and then acting accordingly. Right now we're listening, and the biggest issue we have right now is that, you know, we would rather have our team be able to work 30 hours a week instead of maybe 16. Some of the women that have kids, they really can't work more than about 16, 20 hours a week right now. If I could just get them to work 30, it'd be so much more productive as a company, and they'd be able to, you know, I mean, obviously they could be full-time parents if they wanted to be, but they want to be accountants. They want to do this type of work. And so I think I'm going to start working on like teacher's assistants type of situation. You know, can we hire a couple teacher's assistants through Optima? Can those teacher's assistants go and help our employees? Maybe it's twice a week or three times a week, or, you know, maybe there's something we can do to give them some relief to my team. But I think the overarching message is, what does your team need? Are you listening to them? And then are you acting accordingly? Are you actually doing what they need you to do?
Yeah. No, I love that. I mean, I didn't know there was such a thing as a teaching assistant. So there's a little new thing for me today. I learned something new. I love that. Well, and I think, you know, appreciation, what is it? I think some of the statistics out there are always that, you know, I heard a CEO, I think it was from Inc. And one of the things he was saying is just, you know, go to the part and take your heart where your team is. You know, and it's like, understand that they don't know what the future holds. You don't, we don't, you know, the society is in going through what it's going through, but, you know, meet your team members at their heart. And I think that's what you kind of shared too. And I like the idea. Actually, we have a staff meeting every Monday at 9:30, and I'm always like, that's kind of like a scramble every Monday. Maybe we should change that. So it's good. I might go back today and say, hey, let's change that up. But I do want to spend a little time on the finance side, because, you know, there's so much out there. And as one, for me, coming from a world of being an ex-commercial banker, and glad I'm an ex-lender, you know, this whole thing with the PPP loan program through the SBA and the EIDL, it was on, then it was off, then it's back on. I mean, can you talk a little bit about, you know, if business owners didn't get the PPP loan, can they still get it? Should they get it if they have employees? Kind of what's your take on that for small business owners? Because they've changed so many things about when it's to be paid back, that kind of thing, if they don't use it right, blah, blah, blah. Hit a little bit, can you, about that and where business owners should take advantage about it, on it?
Yeah, and PPP funds are still available. People can still apply. I would urge people to only apply if they really need it, and most people do actually really need it. If your revenue has dropped and you're having a hard time and you want to be able to keep all your employees engaged and onboarded with your team, you know, then you should always try to have as much capital as possible and plan for a rainy day. So not only can you apply for the PPP loan, and then it's looking how do you get the max forgiveness, so it's keeping your employees on your team, and then it's basically keeping the right amount of expenses, and you know, is it 60% of employees on your payroll? Is it you know, do you keep 80%? So there's the employee counts and just spending the money correctly. And, you know, we've been a huge help and a huge resource for our clients in that area, just making sure that they can get full forgiveness. And then there is the EIDL loan. There's a whole bunch of other really great grants out there as well right now. I even believe Facebook had a grant they might still have open. I know there's a Black Business Owners a Grant Relief Fund, and then there's a women-owned business owners relief fund. There's just a whole lot out there. So I think there's capital to be had. But part of looking at how much capital do I need, it is forecasting out your cash right now. So how much cash do you have right now? How much are you going to have in 90 days from now if you do nothing? And many people will find that, oh, shoot, I could potentially run out of money. If COVID, you know, if we have stay-at-home orders in place for the next – you know, the next 3 to 4 months, not stay at home, but I mean, if we're still not able to do the same types of activities that we were doing before COVID, it could drastically impact people's revenue. It's like really planning and preparing and looking at your cash flow. And then, you know, if you, I think that most people that wanted a PPP loan have been able to get one. I haven't heard of, actually, I haven't heard of anybody that still really wants a PPP loan that hasn't been able to get it. So
I think maybe I'm on an island by myself. No, I think there's been a lion's share of business owners, Jennifer, that just gave up, you know, because they weren't hearing back from their bank or their financial institution. But the good news is, you know, I mean, you got PayPal that came out with one and different lenders, you know, that maybe weren't as traditional or a financial institution. But, you know, I mean, I'm really curious to kind of hear from you on what you're seeing with some of your clients. Like, what are the biggest things they're, I mean, I think this is, I know I asked 10,000 questions in my one question, but, you know, what's been frustrating is business owners are like, oh, I'm good. We don't need the EIDL loan. It's like, we're not going to get the PPP loan. We're just going to hunker through. And as things started to open up about a month and a half ago, we were like, okay, good. Things are opening up. And so, you know, there we were. And then literally, like, was it two weeks ago or a week ago? It's just such a blur to me anymore. Then all of a sudden, in California, it's like we're going backwards, right? We kind of, like, went backwards in a couple of phases. And I think that's the kind of, like, a little bit of fear of business owners right now is to go, wow, this might be lasting longer than we thought, and maybe the cash reserves they thought they had aren't there. Are there any kind of suggestions you would make to other business owners as they kind of look at this a little differently now? Because it may not be quick and swift and fast. This is going to be here for a little bit. What can a business
plan for the
owner
worst.
Do to plan,
right?
for the worst.
Plan for the worst?
Okay, what does that mean?
Yeah,
that
no.
mean?
Well, it's everybody. People have a rosy lens. Like, oh, everything's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be fine. And I am honestly, I'm probably one of the most optimistic, happy, positive people you'll ever meet. I've never been depressed in my life. I usually am glasses half full. Okay, I had a major trauma or something happened. Just bounce back. Be resilient. You know, just builds grit and move forward. And so that's a great attitude, but I still need a plan B and a plan C. And if my plan A doesn't work out, then, hey, I've got 62 employees on the line here. I've got to make sure that I can afford all their salaries and that they have a secure place to work. And so if you are not 100% sure that you have enough cash to operate under any circumstance over the next 6 months to a year, then yes, go get the PPP loan, go get an EIDL loan, go get some kind of a grant, go raise funds with investors, go get a line of credit with the bank. I mean, capital is so cheap right now. You can easily get low interest financing. Even the EIDL loan, you know, it's 3.75%. It's over a 30-year period. You don't have to make your first payment for a year. I mean, it's really inexpensive cost of funds. So, you know, for us, for example, we had a pretty big drop. I mean, 20% to me is, I feel like that's a decent sized drop in revenue. And I just thought, you know, I need to make sure that we are, you know, really thinking things through. So let's go ahead and take the EIDL loan. We have a small one, $150,000. And if we find in a year from now we didn't end up really needing it, then we'll just pay it right back. But what's, you know, it's the cost of financing is so cheap that you might as well, because you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if we dropped again 20% and we'd already gone through all of our PPP funds and we started draining through cash because we're really trying to float our team salaries, I'm going to be really, really glad that we took that loan. So I think it's just planning for what could happen. And then, you know, even if you have to have two different types of backup plans, any business owner, I mean, you're in business. Most people don't necessarily want to be entrepreneurs. They don't want all the risk and all the responsibility and, you know, to be paying for all these employees and whatnot. And being an employer is not necessarily, I mean, it's not for everybody, for sure. And so you just need to be able to make sure your company can always survive through anything. And so it's thinking through worst case scenarios. Actually, when you're doing a buy-sell agreement, for example, you know, let's say you're partnering up with one of your friends, even two women, they get really excited. They want to do business together. They've decided to be 50-50 partners, or three people go into business together and everything's rosy, everything's great. You know what? I can tell you that partnerships are very difficult, and you need to think of what could possibly go wrong. and then you need to write that in the buy-sell agreement. You know, if somebody wants to buy or sell their shares, we want to buy or sell the company, then how do we handle it as a company? I mean, as you know, as a partnership or two, three, four, however people, many people go in business together, you really have to just plan for every scenario that could go wrong. And that's when I'm a super happy, optimistic person. I'm just saying you should still plan for the worst.
You are happy and you are optimistic. And I like that. I mean, we should be. It's like, I think it's, well, it doesn't make it any easier. I mean, I definitely know that. It's like, what, do you have any sort of examples of maybe, and again, not telling who the clients are, of course, but do you have any examples of how any businesses you know or other companies that through the pandemic, they've made some huge pivots and it's been to their advantage? I mean, again, we could offer our services or offer what we do in a different way. It's like we could come out with new product offerings or service offerings. There's so many different ways, but sometimes when we're in that fear mode or uncertain mode, it's hard to do that. Got a couple of examples of maybe businesses where you've seen they've made a really effective pivot and it's worked to their advantage?
A few, yeah. So one of our clients was doing corporate retreats and event planning. And obviously they were pretty much shut down overnight. And so they instantly pivoted and started doing summer camps. And so they have all these really cool summer camps for kids. And now it's not is going to be as much revenue as they used to have in the past, at least initially, but it was a really smart idea and a way to pivot and provide a service that everybody needs right now. I mean, what parent does not want to put their kid in summer camp right now? I would say most parents probably want to put their kids in summer camp. And then another business that we work with, they do LED lighting and whatnot, and they buy a lot of stuff from China. Well, they instantly pivoted, and now they have PPE equipment that they're sourcing from China. And so they instantly started selling masks and hand sanitizers and all these other things on top of the lighting that they sell. So I thought that was a pretty cool way to pivot and use your already existing relationships that you have with manufacturers, maybe overseas, that, you know, can start creating some PPE equipment. And, you know, I think the nonprofits have been hit pretty hard for the most part, because a lot of the money that people donate is discretionary, or they, you know, when they're having a really good year, or, you know, they need to save on some taxes, they decide to donate more money. And so the nonprofits that are really focusing on donations, it's like, how can they get donations, or how can they, you know, can they do their annual gala? Can they do it via Zoom? You know, how do you create your big annual fundraising events and still
right.
fundraise, you know, with not being in person? So it's just looking at how can you pivot? Can you offer another product? Can you offer another service? I mean, be creative, people. You know, what do others need? What do you see going on? Try to predict the future. Try to predict what your customer is going to need in 6 months from now. And then don't wait,
I
think it's, now's the time.
I think it's too that, you know, this has been my take, and I'm curious with you, because I know how visible, you know, you've been in the business community for years, right? I mean, and it's like this is my third venture that I've built just by, you know, networking and belonging to groups and then running one, right? I think, you know, people are zoomed out, you know, people maybe aren't showing up like they should. Talk a little bit. Because I've seen you still visible. You know, what kind of a shift did you make? Because you're not networking in person anymore. It's like, what kind of like process have you kind of gone through to say, I'm going to be at stuff that I hear about? Are you still in the same groups and organizations? Because a lot of people have just kind of closed off and said, I'm going to wait till this is over. My suggestion is don't wait till it's over. But what's kind of your take on what you guys have done?
I think people nobody necessarily gets ahead by waiting, right? You need to act now. You need to pivot, and you need to figure out how can I make do with my current situation. And the longer that you wait, you know, I don't think that's a great strategy. You know, I'm in Vistage, and all of our meetings have been remote. And instead, we just started doing an hour a week, just getting together and talking shop. And then our normal meetings, instead of being all day, they were only 4 hours since they were, you know, via Zoom. I'm an entrepreneurs organization, and I love the events. I love the networking. I love being part of entrepreneurs organization. And obviously there's no events right now. And so there's been learning events, and there's been everything via Zoom, and they have, you know, did a town hall meeting recently that was via Zoom. I mean, obviously, you know, Connected Women of Influence, Inspire, and Business Executives Council, and Conscious Capitalism all got together and all formed, you know, that largest business networking mixer in San Diego. And so that's been pretty cool with the breakout rooms. And I've been doing my staff meetings via Zoom, and we've been doing breakout rooms and polling questions. And, you know, my team's really enjoying it. And I feel like it was a huge benefit for us to just kind of add the Zoom, you know, the Zoom meetings with breakout rooms, and people get to, you know, socialize with their coworkers, but in the breakout rooms via Zoom. And so I think it's, you know, stay a part of all these groups, and what can you learn from them, and how can you help? How can you help others?
Good point. I like that. No, I like it. I mean, again, I think we all have a kind of different take on just one, how we're dealing with this. I mean, you know, my favorite was watching people on Zoom where they would take polls like, okay, who's in their yoga pants for the same day? You know, I mean, it just, you know, it was so random and weird in the beginning. And now I think because of the pandemic being here to stay for a while, you know, people are really having to make those big shifts. So, and I've seen some incredible things. I've seen people take their events online, you know, where they've actually kind of done things in virtual meeting rooms. There's new software and programs that are coming out to be able to help, you know, help us when we're not in person, you know, do things. So I think the biggest thing, and this is where I'm curious for you, I know you're in Vistage, but, you know, where do you go for just kind of camaraderie among other owners? What would you recommend for business owners? Because I know how valuable it's been for me to be able to talk to other business owners and just say, well, where, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, share some of those strategies with each other, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that. That's a really great idea. Even with what you said about the Monday morning calls, I found them, you know, we're not just up and ready to go like we used to be, you know. People are having a tough time kind of getting motivated during the day. But what's your take on how do you stay motivated among, you know, other people? Or do you? Are you just a self-motivator as Miss Positive and Miss I See the World Through Rose-Colored Glasses, which is a good thing, and I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have experienced some challenges with this. I mean, there's a lot of people. I'm an extreme extrovert, so I really like being around other people. I like the camaraderie with other executives. I have a group of people I can call, especially the people that are in my, you know, in EO with me or in Vistage. I've been in the same Vistage group mostly for about 5 years. I took a year and went into a different group and then came back to my longstanding group. But, you know, you just surround yourself with people that you respect and that give you good advice, and also that you feel that you're able to help and give good advice to as well. You don't want to be that person in an executive group that's always processing an issue and everyone's always helping you and you don't ever have a lot to contribute. So, you know, there's a happy mix between contributing to others' success and others' business ideas and then, you know, being able to be vulnerable and ask the right questions. And, you know, if you join an executive group, which I think any business owner should do, whether it's a Vistage or, you know, Joe Phillips has some three groups himself. He's got two CEO groups and a key group, and he's just awesome. And, you know, obviously Connected Women of Influence, I think you guys have those, you know, high-level leadership pods for women. And, you know, I think there's a lot of great groups out there. So whether you need an executive coach or whether you want to surround yourself with other executives, right now you can do it via Zoom. I think we'll be getting back at it in person, hopefully sooner than later. But always surround yourself with people that you can get advice from and that you want to give advice to and that you know you can actually help. So that's what I've tried to do over the years. I've been in executive groups for about 5 years-ish. And they've always been
They're powerful.
They are, but you have to be vulnerable. You know, you can't just sit there and act like you have no issues ever. And candidly, there was many years that went by where I hardly ever had an issue to process until I did, right? And so things could be wonderful, 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 and then all of a sudden a major issue happens or something that you really need some advice from others. And so it's nice to just have that group already built rather than having to try to find that group when you are going through a big challenge, because then you're going to be maybe overly vulnerable, you know, you're going to share way too much. And you're like, whoa, whoa, I just met you, person.
Well,
like,
both,
hey.
Yeah, it's both extremes. You were saying don't be the one that always, you know, has all the issues and don't be the one that never does. So I think there's a happy balance, you know. I love it. But, you know, I can't believe we're out of time. I'm going to ask you one final question, and that is, you know, for you, it's like, how are you planning right now? Are you, like, planning and thinking, hey, we're going to get back to pretty much business as usual in the third or the fourth quarter of the year? Are you really looking at 2021 as when we get back to some sense of normal? I know you're not a crystal ball, you know, Jennifer. I know you don't know exactly what's going to happen with COVID, but right now, what's your take on how things look for, you know, you looking forward for the future for this year? How normal will it be for you guys?
I think Q3 is going to be tough. I think Q3 is still in a state of, you know, COVID cases are still ramping up. You know, we for some unbeknownst reason have not enough tests for every single human in California to take one. God knows why.
Yeah.
But, you know, until we can get everybody tested and until we can really get done with the pandemic, people are still going to have the childcare issues. That's going to be our biggest problem in Q3. And then who knows what's going to happen in Q4. I hope that students are allowed to go back or at least put classrooms outside. Why can't you just put a bunch of desks outside, keep them apart? You know, I don't really get it. I mean, they can be all congregated together in Walmart, but they can't put a bunch of desks outside for the kids to still learn. So I think that's going to be the biggest issue. I think businesses have already pretty much pivoted as much as they can. I mean, hopefully that they can still pivot. But Q4 might still be tough. It's really about the leaders at the top right now, the decisions that they're making, and then all of us being careful. You know, just wear a darn mask. It's not that big of a deal. Be outside, wear a mask, you know, be around others, be socially distant, you know, follow the rules. Let's just try to get rid of this as soon as possible. All work together. And I'm not a crystal ball, but I am optimistic that by Q4, hopefully things are somewhat getting back to normal. But who knows?
I love it. No, and so I think none of us can be anything but realistic, you know. I mean, it's like, can't go hide in a corner. It's like, you got to be out there. You got to keep trying every day. And, you know, at the same time, I just appreciate all the things you've shared. It's like, I'd love to have you on the show all the time because you always have such great wisdom and great advice for business owners who are looking to make their mark, if I can say that. And our lane is all about women and business and advancement. So thank you for being our leading lady today. I want to thank our listeners as we really appreciate your loyalty. We're here every single Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Love the fact that we are now an international show. So to our listeners of different countries besides the USA, thank you for listening. And to everyone, I wish you all adieu. Have a fabulous week. And according to Jennifer, just be optimistic and be positive and yet be authentic. Have a great week and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.